B-Pod Studios.
I mean, it was like a home game here. We love you guys.
The support here tonight was like a home game. We could have been at Gillette Stadium.
But we're still here.
We can't thank you guys enough.
We are all Patriots. And once again, the Patriots are world champions.
This is the home of the six-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know, I went a year without touching myself.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
The year was 1986. Happy Days was ending its run. So with Donnie Most off the tube, Ralph Mouth, I was now the most famous fro in town. The Fenway press box was packed. I accidentally blocked the view of my fellow writer, Bob Ryan. So in order for Bob to see the action, he had to part me like a field of grain. And then it happened.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the back! It gets through Buckner!
The color of my Fenway fluff matched the anger of Red Sox Nation, and my towering tresses deflated with sadness. Squish. Do you know the fro?
Know the fro?
Know the fro? Squish.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Here's the Touch and Rich radio program.
Whoosh.
Dan Shaughnessy, who can fit, we don't even know. We maxed out the number of pencils he could put in his afro.
Squish.
No, we didn't max out. I honest to God, I think Bird must have had at least 12 more he could have put in there. I
mean, well, no, we maxed out. We didn't have any more pencils.
Oh, I thought we had he had reached capacity. That's what I thought you meant.
Oh, no.
No, he had not reached capacity.
We had not reached capacity. No. We did with the Q-tips. We got hundreds of Q-tips in there, and they started to fall out.
The worst part? No, I don't think so. I don't think they started to fall out either. I think we could have put more in. The best part was he was just carrying on a conversation with us like, you know, we were at the ballpark.
Well, it probably happened before. I mean, you can only have a fro like that that's so luxurious.
Me and Peter Abraham got bored during a particular August game. He just decided.
Partly like a field of grain.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're behind him in the press box, you got to sideshow Bob it.
Dan, just sit still.
Yeah,
you can put all your trinkets in there, though. You know, your cell phone.
I'm telling you that there's been a time where Shaughnessy's taking a shower and something has come out of his hair.
I was the classiest carrot top in the press box.
Cause you know,
so fluffy.
As soon as he gets off the flight in Fort Myers, it just goes. It just goes. He's got a hat on and it goes flying through the air. So last night, I went to bed early. I'm enjoying myself. I'm resting. I'm sleeping. I got my big time CPAP on, and then my wife comes to bed, and I don't even hear her. That's how asleep I am. And then, of course, my son comes to bed because he is afraid of Momo, internet. A thing that doesn't exist, even on the internet. It just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Now, Lockhart, you're telling me that it's no longer... Wait, what's going on with this thing?
So I guess the creator destroyed the... I don't know, is it a puppet or a statue? I'm not sure what it is, but I guess the creator destroyed it because of all the attention it got.
Okay. Because it's this thing that's supposed to pop up, and it's supposed to say, kill yourself, and if you don't kill yourself, I'm gonna kill you.
The original statue isn't like... The statue was created as like a legitimate statue, right?
It's like some Japanese horror or some kind of, yeah, it's something like
so
that.
So they destroyed it because someone was taking their statue, is what you're saying, and using it for this Momo thing. Got
it.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then I got to go up to the third floor, which is about 20 degrees hotter than anyone else in the house and dry as hell. So, I mean, this Momo thing is just an absolute nightmare. I mean, no rest. No rest.
Did you or did you not try to loosen things up by hiding around corners and popping out and saying, Momo, to your son?
I did.
Did you not egg this on a little bit, this behavior? Aren't you partially responsible for this?
To lighten the mood, I did hide behind a corner and pop out and go, Momo.
I thought, I'm thinking Milo didn't take too well to that. And this
he laughed. I thought I was doing is I was trivializing the fear.
I see.
Like, and he would laugh, and then I would, like, you know, give him a little tickle.
And in reality, you exacerbated the problem, and here we are.
No, I think school exasperates the problem. Right. I think that he gets in there and he starts talking to kids and he comes home all freaked out. Because he doesn't say it's because of Momo. He says his stomach hurts.
Ah.
This kid's so every night it just goes that his stomach starts to hurt.
And it's been lined up with Momo.
But yes, I would imagine that it's more of a fear of this Momo than it is anything else. Hmm. And then there's this negotiation that goes on between my wife and son. My daughter's perfectly fine. My daughter, she's sleeping. But there's a negotiation that goes on by the bed that goes on for about a half an hour of him coming in and out of the room until finally she gives in and he comes in. And then there's the dog, my wife.
What are you doing during the negotiation?
I'm got this stupid thing on my face.
So you're out.
Well, no, but I can hear.
I see.
And then
the internal monologue, I can't imagine, is great there. Like, just...
Well, the monologue between the two of them is two children just negotiating.
No, but, I mean, you having to sit there and listen to it can't be a great inner monologue. Like, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, I'm just... I don't get mad at him because he's 10 and, you know, I... Whatever. I mean, but I just go... I mean, I can't sleep in bed with him because there's not enough room. And then he, of course, as soon as he gets in the bed, he starts rolling all around. So I went up to the third floor today, and with this, I still haven't shook this pneumonia completely. So you get up there in that hot room, and it was disgusting. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like little bits of throw-up are coming out.
Throw-up?
It's not like throw-up from your stomach. It's just like that. It's just
the gross. Leftover mucus that the stomach is clearing itself. Having had pneumonia myself in the past, it's not pretty.
Right. When you're like coughing so hard that like you start like.
But you're not sick. It's your body purging itself. Yes. I've had this.
Yeah. Yes, like when you cough enough, it's because something's going to come out.
Right.
I mean, this is this has got to stop. Now, what was the point of Momo in the first place? Because it never existed on the internet, right?
Yeah, I think it was made like 3 years ago, and I have no idea how this happened. I don't know where it came from. I know it's some kind of Japanese character. I don't know exactly how it like got mixed up in this like internet sensation or whatever it was.
It was on the news.
Yeah, everybody ran with it.
What is scary about it if you're not on the internet? Just the idea of it? Just knowing it's out there and it exists.
I think my son can't articulate completely right. What's going on. I would imagine that
in his shoes, right? What's going on?
This is the first time in his life something like that he can't comprehend is scary. You know, like legitimately scary that, you know, his friends are all scared by it.
Right.
And I think this is the first time that's
your
ever
brain's
happened.
Just thinking about it. And...
Yes, exactly. And I can't. I've tried a million things to explain to him, like, you know, first of all, I mean, I've done everything I can. And then now I just don't talk about it. But, I mean, I even went so far as to come out from the corner and go, Momo. I thought, he was laughing. I go, all right, well, this is going to show him that it's, like, silly. Nope.
Yeah, I've tried that before, too. It doesn't work.
No, it does not work. I have not found anything that works. But my wife and him having a conversation while I'm trying to sleep. My stomach hurts, Milo. You can't. You're 10 years old. You're almost 11. You can't sleep in bed. Okay, but my stomach hurts. Just go to your room. Kunk-kunk. 5 minutes. Kunk-kunk. Kunk-kunk. My stomach hurts, and I just like. Why do if your stomach hurts? Why do you have to sleep in bed? Your stomach's gonna hurt in the other room too. Like, getting in this bed is not some healing power.
Maybe your mattress is a little nicer, right? You know.
No.
He lies on his tummy, it'd be fine.
All right, well, you just said tummy for the second time in show history.
That's true, I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah?
What was the first?
Oh, it was...
he was describing something.
Describing something, and I had spent way too much time with my kids at the age... They were two or
You're
three
describing
at the
your
time.
Own tummy.
No, it was... it was... I don't even know when. But, yes, that's the second time that I said it on the air. Very true. Fred.
I don't think I've ever said tummy in my life, referring to a stomach.
Mm-hmm.
when you throw the ball at him. The ball bounces off the receiver's heel and winds up on his tummy, or he swats a ball down.
Hang on.
Did I actually say the first 2 years of the show, and I spent way too much time with my two and three. The kids were two and three, and I was talking baby talk the whole time. It was awful.
Oh, he's just rolling around on his tum-tum out there.
Dan's saying that that's not true.
It is true. It's absolutely true.
You're telling me that was 8 years ago?
Yeah, because Crash was here when it happened.
Oh, I don't, Mike, can you play it again? Is there any indication of who the person is?
Hang on. The guy who says hang on is Crash.
When you throw the ball at him, the ball bounces off the receiver's heel and winds up on his tummy, or he swats a ball down.
Hang on.
Did I actually say that?
No. Oh, that's God. Crash.
That's Rich.
No.
Me.
I'm telling you, Crash was here when it happened. I mean, if you really want to debate the timeline, I remember Crash being here.
All right. Well, it's the tummy gate.
Yep.
Tummy gate.
Tummy gate.
We'll figure it out one day.
And who said, hang on? I want to know the answer to
that.
That
was
too.
Crash.
Okay.
Or was it Rich or Fred?
We have three opinions in the room. and who knows? Who knows if we'll ever figure it out? All right. Last night, the Celtics played in the middle of the night. Did either of you stay up for that game?
No.
I was up for some reason for the last minute. I woke up out of a sound sleep. Perhaps. Not because my son was in complaining about a stomach ache, but I was up.
Perhaps
so the last minute.
Yeah, perhaps Momo was involved. All right. We will be right back.
Recapping what you missed, it's Touchner and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Kyrie Irving wasn't playing last night, and that means the Celtics win. Here's how. Hayward, take it away.
Celtics do not have a timeout. We're even at 109. Inbound, safe to Gordon Hayward. Hayward, half court, 6 seconds to go. Hayward, left-hand dribble drive, gets near the cup, hangs in the air. Touchdown is good. 2 seconds to go. Buddy Hield fields it, but before he can, Dave Yeager calls the timeout.
Yes, and so there you go. Now, he was almost the GOAT.
Yes. Just an absolutely ridiculously silly foul right before that. The Celtics are up three, and Hayward fouls Buddy Hield, taking a three-point shot. And Hield's one of the best free-throw shooters in the league, makes all three to tie the game, and then Hayward makes up for it by dribbling the length of the floor and taking a shot going side to side while on the baseline. Didn't go to the basket. I mean, it was a tough little fall away from the left side to make the shot. But 12 points, but he goes from the GOAT to the hero in one fell swoop.
In one fell swoop. And so they asked Brad Stevens after the game, what is Kyrie's prognosis?
What is the outlook for Kyrie just as you move in the next couple of days?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. I haven't talked to the trainers about it. It
seems like a day-to-day type of thing now.
Okay.
I haven't talked to anybody about it. Then what have you been doing all day? Like, you're with the team. It's not, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of diagramming plays, I'd imagine. He's got to pick out a suit and tie.
Yeah, it's not August 10th. I mean, you're not. The people aren't just scattered around the country. I mean, this is something that you could ask the trainers. It would seem to be of some relevance to you if Kyrie Irving was going to play. Mm. So now the deal is that they're just sick of talking about it, and they're not going to talk about Kyrie.
Sounds like it.
So that's it.
I mean,
sounds like it.
There's no way he doesn't play against the Lakers.
No,
right?
He's going to play. I mean,
Game? It's on ABC on Saturday night.
Yeah, you have 2 days off.
It's the Lakers.
Yeah. And they just lost to the Lakers.
He's not going to miss that game. Sacramento's beneath him. I understand that. Sacramento's beneath him. He's not going to play in a game in Sacramento. Rondo famously didn't want to go there on his birthday a few years ago.
Yep.
So Kyrie's not going to lower himself to play in Sacramento. He'll get up for the Warriors. He'll get up for the Lakers, but Kings aren't something he wants to do, apparently.
So you're guessing that this is it's a back-to-back, it's in Sacramento, why play?
Correct. I mean, I think they're managing him anyway. How many games did he miss this year? 12 or 13 games for various ailments. It was described more as soreness than anything else. So, yeah, I think he could have played. I think he could have played in a lot of these games that he sat out.
So why? Why are they holding him out?
Most of the games he's missed have been against bad teams. I mean, Sacramento's not 500.
Not Philly, but yes, I would agree that most of the games have been bad games. Yeah.
Say he's missed, I'll have to look, 12 or 13 games. 9 or 10 or even 11 of those opponents were lousy. And yeah, the Philadelphia game, Philadelphia's obviously a very good team, but they won without him anyway. I think they pick and choose for the most part. Okay, so back-to-back, it's Sacramento. You guys should be able to beat them without me anyway.
Who do you think picks and chooses?
I think Kyrie goes to the coach.
I have a feeling Kyrie has a big say in the games
that
he gets to miss.
I do too.
Under the guise of, well, my body's feeling this, my body's feeling that.
It is
the second night of a back-to-back, and yeah. I know the Kings are, you know, they've been better than people expected, but I would agree. They're not a very good team. Scrappy, competitive, maybe they're a team on the rise, but they're not a very good team. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to miss games, sure, this is the kind of game to miss, but they continue to win without him. And trust me, I did not see that coming from Hayward last night. Like, not at all. When I went to bed, and maybe I should have stayed up for this thing last night, yeah. But when I went to bed, about the last thing I expected was a Hayward game winner. Like,
right.
You could have quizzed me on anything that happened in that game, and I wouldn't have guessed that. Not in a million years.
Well, Gordon Hayward talked after the game, and here's what he said.
More than anything, just happy for our team. Happy that we've, you know, found a way to win these last two games, especially with kind of what we were going through. It's been like that this year. We've had ups and downs, man. It's been a roller coaster, and, you know, we want to be on and up when we get into the playoffs. And so I think we all know that that's coming up, and we got to be playing our best basketball.
All right.
He sounds excited.
He does.
Yeah.
He sounds like, you know.
That's an elated guy. Game winner. 30 points the night before against Golden State. That's an excited guy.
Yeah.
I think he's got perspective, Jones. He knows exactly what's going on here. He knows the team isn't a bunch of world beaters. They're struggling to win every game. You know, he's got 16 games left. He's pacing himself.
I just think when you play so many video games, you're a little callous to real life.
That's probably what's going on. Right.
I thought his wife demanded that he stop playing video games.
Just for that day, Fred. I'm sure there's a lot of video games before and after.
Just when you're used to all the, you know, the bright lights and big noises of the video games.
He's in a constant trance.
Yeah, real life is a little mundane.
I would imagine he brings a set on the road with him.
Oh, I know he does.
So yeah. I'm thinking.
It's probably all he was thinking about in that interview. He's like, can I get out of here? I'm trying to get online and play.
Like Rain Man, you know, 90 minutes to Fortnite.
Yeah. I don't know how these guys can play Fortnite. Like, I would give anything to like Fortnite. if I mean to like something that much, but every time my son tries to show me how to play it, he gets frustrated and takes the remote from me. So I don't.
Oh, he's watching you, and he's like, "You don't get it, Dad."
No, he's just, "Well, let me show you how to do that." And then the next thing you know, it's like it's over.
Yeah,
he's lost all patience. So here's Marcus Morris.
Yeah, it was about time. That's all I can say about.
Yes. He's saying it's about time, and then he used an expletive
mm-hmm.
to really drive home.
Right.
How long it's been since he hit a shot. So does this two-game winning streak make anyone feel better?
A little bit. I mean, it's better than the alternative, but we had Mike Gorman on here yesterday, and he's right. I mean, you can't really begin to believe that a corner has been turned, at least going in the other direction, until they finish this road trip. I mean, it would be just like the Celtics to win these two and then lose back-to-back in L.A. So if they split these last two games, or, you know, odds are they can win these last two games. I mean, they're better than the Clippers. They're better than the Lakers. You know, then maybe you start to believe, okay, because the door is open. Philadelphia lost to Chicago last night. They're only a game and a half up on the Celtics.
What are you giggling at? The Celtics just lost to Chicago.
I understand that. My point is Philadelphia is just as fallible. They're not exactly running away with home court. After all the Celtics have been through, home court and maybe even the three seed is still there to be taken with 16 games to go. I find it, I'm laughing because the Celtics have been far from good for most of the season and still they have this opportunity to grab the three seed.
So I would say, I actually feel a little better about Hayward, which makes me feel better about the team, right?
Right.
So if Hayward is going to do, and you're not going to get 30 out of him every night, and you're not going to get game winners out of him every night, but if Hayward is going to start to elevate a little bit, then yeah, I feel better about the team. So, you know, a couple of random wins, you know, having to go to the buzzer against the Kings, I would not classify as a great game. They were lights out against the Warriors, very little resistance in that game. They were making everything. But when you beat Golden State by 30-plus, you beat Golden State by 30-plus. I feel a lot better about Hayward. And I almost feel better about what last night does for him than the big game against the Warriors, right? Like, I almost feel better about hitting the game winner and having your teammates run off. And not that I think everything in the locker room is fixed and it's not toxic or anything like that. But having everybody kind of have your back and supporting you after legitimately getting the team a win. I mean, he almost handed the game away, but then legitimately getting the team a win. I almost think that's a bigger moment for him than 30 plus against Golden State.
So, John, when you wake up
yes.
in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
Momo terrors.
with the Momo Terrace.
Right. Tossing and turning with Momo Terrace.
Yep. I swear to God, that Momo thing. It's going to drive me to as much as I look like I'm going to die soon. I actually might die soon. That stupid Momo thing. Oh, dumb news. Put it on. Hey, this Momo, it's not real. Parents, don't worry. Here's this really frightening image. Look, it's okay. We're just telling you that it's all right. That's why we're putting it up there. Yep. Not because it's some this scandalous rumor that's going on. All right, so where do you watch the game? Do you get up and put with your nightshirt and like an oil candle?
A
nightcap.
Where do you watch
cap
the game?
With the tassel that hangs over the face.
That's right. Right. You have your nightshirt on.
Yeah. Don't forget the slippers. Yes.
All right. So where do you go to watch the...
I turn on the TV in the bedroom.
And your wife doesn't care?
I made sure it was muted very quickly. But yes, I had it on last night. Wife did not wake up.
Lights don't bother her.
It was roll of the dice, man. Roll of the dice.
Now, did you get excited? But you hadn't been watching the game. So
no, I had no context. I just turned it on, and it happened to be the last 40 seconds. It was just luck. It was coincidence.
All right.
So, yeah, it was nice to see. I mean, Gordon Hayward committing that foul. I'm like, come on. What a stupid-ass play that was. But then he dribbles the length of the floor and scores. He makes up for it. So, yeah, it was nice.
I mean, they tried to kick it away, right? The Hayward foul.
Yeah, sure. No, they had their moments.
The smart turnover. Morris made a big play getting on that loose ball. Because Smart turned it over, Hayward with the foul. But yeah, I mean, the Kings have been playing well, and at least they're scrappy again. I would not call them a good team, but...
No, they're 500 in their ninth place.
That's not a team that's given
four
like
games out of a playoff spot.
Normally, the Kings in March have given up like 2 months ago, yeah. Right? Like normally, the Sacramento Kings gave up in January. Yeah. This year's team has not given up, so I'd give the Celtics that.
They're going to have the Kings aren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're going to give the Celtics a low lottery pick this year. So that win also helped in that regard.
All right. When we come back, LeBron James does the impossible, and there's drugs running through the clubhouse down there in Fort Myers.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And last night in Los Angeles, it was history. History. LeBron James, the greatest achievement in sports history.
Gets it to James. LeBron takes it to the rim and finishes with the left, and he's fouled. The legend of LeBron continues. He moves past his idol, MJ, for fourth on the all-time scoring list.
He says that it ranks up there with winning championships.
With all time, baby.
Yeah, he's like, he says that passing Jordan for fourth on the all-time scoring list is like winning a championship.
Okay. In like 100 more games, by the way.
Right. And, I mean, and here is he didn't have to leave for gambling reasons. All right, so here is LeBron explaining just what Michael Jordan meant to him.
You guys have no idea, man. And I'm trying to give it to you guys, but you guys have no idea what MJ did for me and my friends growing up. You know, just in a sense of, you know, some days where you just don't even feel like you're gonna make it to the next day where I grew up, you know, because of everything that's going on. So, like I wrote on my shoes tonight, like you saw, I thank MJ more than he'd ever known. And I gotta carry it on to the next kid. Hopefully I can inspire the next kid like myself.
I don't know what that clicking was.
I know, it was like back. Somebody snapping in the back.
Yeah, no, it's like he had like a tin of dip and he was just like slapping it.
It's Peter Gammons whipping somebody, I think. Is what it was.
Peter Gammons, he's back to Peter Gammons. He's got nunchucks and he's flipping them all around. All right, okay. So first of all, by those comments, like, wow, you were the guy who liked Michael Jordan?
Yep.
And second of all, knowing what I know about basketball and youth basketball now, by the fourth grade probably, he was on everyone's radars in getting getting coddled and being, you know, driven around the country. AAU probably in fourth grade at his size. So, I mean, he was a prodigy.
I read Buzz Bissinger's book about him in high school. He was a star, the star of the recognized national championship high school basketball team when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
He was the leader of the team.
He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a junior in high school.
As a freshman in high school, he was the star of a national championship high school basketball team.
Which, by the way, was on national television.
Yeah.
They used to, that Irish team.
That's right.
St. Mary's. They used to have his games on television. But, I mean, I understand that he didn't grow up in great conditions, but, I mean, he was taken care of. A kid that size with that athleticism?
Yeah, I wish he'd just elaborate, too. Like, it feels like a nice thing to say about Michael Jordan. Like, what exactly? So, every day you kept going because of Jordan? Like, what exactly about Jordan? Like, what exactly about that?
Yeah, like, what was that influence? Because Jordan never said anything of any consequence.
No. No. I
mean, he was deliberately...
He said about as much as LeBron did on the shoes last night. That just said, thank you, MJ, 23.
Yeah, thank you for what?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already called himself the greatest of all time, which is insulting to friends like those. That's exactly what I want. This guy's telling me that they're better than me. It's just like a guy that just knowing what I know now, because think about it. You're 11 in fifth grade. You're in the NBA 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you don't just come out of nowhere.
No, and basketball is the sport where, like you're alluding to, it's the sport where it's not 100%. Obviously, guys who are, you know, underappreciated or slip through the cracks scouting-wise, like Steph Curry ending up at Davidson, you know, that does happen. But it's the sport where you can identify kids in junior high, and you could probably... You could see them playing at that age and have a pretty good idea if this guy's a Division I kid, if this guy has an NBA future, like, you know, he may not turn into LeBron James, but that's a sport where you can tell, and you can tell early.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Division I stuff and people grow and things like that, but, I mean, if he was such a seminal talent, people's careers were based on him probably from when he was 10 years old.
His buddy is a... power broker of an agent just because he grew up next to LeBron.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so as tough as it might have been in Akron, I don't think that Michael Jordan was, you know, keeping him alive.
And he hits a jam.
Oh, that's right. Bitch.
You.
All he wants to do is zoom, a zoom, 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 and a boom,
son of a
boom.
Bitch. Because that's it, Jones, that song will stay in your head. And that's what's going to happen now.
Yep.
I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the day. You suck.
And you're going to go to your barn, and you're just going to be shooting J's.
I wonder if he took down that kid took down the Cleveland jersey and put up a Lakers one. What do you think?
On his wall of fame. Jersey. I have a feeling that he's just trying to get by a little bit.
Maybe he had to sell those jerseys for food.
Yeah. I have a feeling like when you're...
Right. He needs someone like Michael Jordan to look up to.
Yes, exactly. I mean, LeBron James let him down when he left. That was when he was Miami, when he made that. All right. Stephen Wright, which is not even... it's the fourth story in the Globe, but on the sports page. Stephen Wright suspended 80 games... The knuckleballer, the amount of muscle needed for that, the amount of straight strength.
Throws a hard knuckleball.
I'm not saying I could hit it.
A little extra mustard on that knuckleball.
I'm not saying I could hit it, but, I mean, you think knuckleball, I mean, he obviously did it to heal from something, but you think knuckleball pitchers and you think, well, you can pitch till you're 60.
Yeah.
He had knee surgery recently, right? I mean, he had major knee surgery within the last year.
He was obviously taking it to heal. I mean, he wasn't taking it for muscles, but... Yeah. Here is Stephen Wright on his 80-game suspension.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, I never thought that it'd ever come down to this. You know, I respect the joint drug, you know, treatment program, and unfortunately, you know, we couldn't figure out how, you know, this particular substance got into my system. And at the end of the day, it falls on me to try to, you know, prevent that. And unfortunately, it's somewhere it got into my body, and I don't know how, but it is what it is, and I just got to try to move on from it.
Yeah. Huh. You know, good luck moving on from that.
I had no idea what was in that syringe.
Yeah
exactly. I went to GNC and they just had some weird stuff laying around. Well, now, there, as Adam, you mentioned in the email, Now they are down three relievers when you look at Kimbrel and you look at Kelly being gone. And here's Alex Cora.
It is what it is, you know. We just have to, you know, turn the page, obviously, given the support that he needs. Obviously, he's still part of us. And
Yeah. So is this a big deal in any way, shape, or form?
I mean,
another brick in the wall, right?
It'd be nice to have him on board. I didn't have particularly high hopes for him. And, you know, I just think it's a big deal because they stood by this guy through domestic violence last year, right? Like, this is a guy they decided to get behind and stand behind, and now he lets him down again. So I think, you know, that part of it is interesting. On the field, again, it's just another arm in the bullpen. He wasn't forthright with them, knowing that he tested positive, knowing that a suspension was looming, and so
technically, I guess you don't have to inform the team until after your appeal. But it would have been nice if he'd given the heads up. Yeah,
you don't have to, but maybe the approach would have been a little different in the bullpen this offseason if they had any idea, any inkling this was going on. So, look, you didn't have to do it, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Stephen Wright has been a hard guy to root for now for a year plus, and I would throw this on top of it.
Yeah, no, that's true. But overall, just baseball-wise, Fred, this team has a problem in the bullpen. And they have the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, they had the best record in baseball. They blew everyone's doors off in the playoffs, and they won the World Series, and a lot of people are happy about that. And they should be, but they have a massive problem in the bullpen they have to fix. And they have shown no inclination about bringing anybody in Cora's whole thing is, well, you know what? We had a lot of unknown step up last year, and that seems to be the Band-Aid to fix everything. No one's really sure if Brazier can close or if Barnes can close who's going to set up.
Is he even back?
Yeah, I think he had an infected toe, right? And I think he's back in camp now. And personally, if it were me, he would be the closer. But I keep reading stories about how that might bring, it'll be matchup based, which always works well. Yeah. I mean, it always works well when you have matchup based closers and not just one guy.
And it makes
that works really, really well.
Yeah, and it makes exciting baseball.
But
too.
Yeah, it's a major problem. And I guess no one's going to pay attention to it until the bullpen starts blowing games. But that's something. And if you have Wright to be the long guy that pushes everybody back, and maybe that helps a little bit, but they need arms out there, and they don't have any, at least not right now.
All right, Jones, you're very excited because your favorite player is coming back.
Yeah. Big national game today. The little leader, Dustin Pedroia, will be back for the Red Sox. As I understand it, Alex Cora did not want to start Pedroia in this game. He wanted to avoid all the national hubbub for the Red Sox game today. I should double check. Who exactly do they play?
They play Minnesota.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. Do they play the Twins?
I don't even know if they play Minnesota today.
Mayor's Cup, of course. So big national TV contingent. And I don't know. Cora said he didn't want to get him out there. Pedroia apparently wanted to be out there. I don't know what else would have changed from the manager not wanting him out there. So, look, in the grand scheme of things, is it a big deal? No. But the guy still needs his ego stroked. And I don't expect much out of him at all. So.
All right, so your contention is that he wants to come back on a national stage.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but who's going to watch the game, right? Whether it's on national TV or not. But there's national reporters that are there around the game. Like, there's more coverage around the game, which means more people talking about Dustin Pedroia. And I expect zero out of him this year. Okay. Zero.
You can't expect anything from him. All right, we'll be right back.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And the Bankroll Boys are coming up at 7 o'clock. You might say, why the Bankroll Boys? Well, just because it's not football season doesn't mean there's not stuff to gamble on.
March Madness is coming up, right?
Yeah, you have the conference championships coming up. You have some conference championships going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
When's your little NEC tournament?
Bryant was eliminated last night, first round of the NEC tournament.
Now, did you call the game?
No, the game was in Western Pennsylvania.
That's got to be a road game.
Not make the trip.
They're terrible. No.
Bryant was the 8th seed this year. They lost to the best team in the conference by 4.
How many games did you call this year for Bryant?
17, I want to say.
15, Jesus.
16?
All at Bryant?
No, some were. I think I did three road games and all the home games. So, yes, but 16, 17, 18, something like that.
Where were the road games?
At URI, at Brown, and I think there was one more. We didn't go too far. At Sacred Heart.
This is true. I think I've told you this. I'm sure you wouldn't know this. I applied for the Bryant job that Wallach got.
And oh, really? I did not know
and
that.
I got an email back. This was, when did you get the job?
Oh.
I think I was still in college.
10, 11 years ago, something like that.
I got the email back, and they're like, yeah, we've actually gone with John Wallach. And I was like, sensible hire. I was like, oh, good, that's a name. I was like, wow.
What a slap in the face to you.
Yeah, I know, right?
To lose out to Wallach.
I got edged out by Wallach.
Quickly up before Maynard at corner three. Makes the shot.
Yeah.
Not even that it's a good call. It's just that you can tell it's like through the worst radio, like a phone of all time.
It was tin cans back then. Sure.
Yeah, but now it's like a huge setup.
Oh, way better now. Yeah. Way better now.
Way better.
Way better.
Much thicker strings on those cans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, before we were just yelling into a can without a string.
He's actually in a fort when he does the game.
That's true. We make it with mattresses and everything. It's great.
So, yeah. Jones, you were going to go. So you went to Northeastern.
Yes.
I can tell by your sweatshirt.
Yes.
So you went to Northeastern.
Yep.
And you were going to go and call games while you were in college?
I think it was my senior year. I was applying to gigs. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, because that's no way to spend your college time.
No.
Going down to Rhode Island to call Bryant games.
No.
And hit it.
Mm-hmm. And again, I see what.
2-28 season.
I see why they went with what they went with.
See?
Yeah. So this was not the year of the Bryant Bulldogs.
Actually, considering how they played last year, this is a much better season.
Okay.
They only won 3 games last year.
All right.
The fact that they physically made the conference tournament this year is a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long do you think that you're going to continue to do this?
I don't know. It's year to year. That we haven't talked about next year yet.
Is it more now just an excuse to get out of the house?
No.
I'm not.
No, Fred, it's not that at all.
Because I would imagine at a certain point.
Some of us hide in bathrooms, other of us drive to Rhode Island. I genuinely enjoy doing it.
No, I know you do.
I really do.
I know you do. But I'm wondering if there's a point where it's just, you know.
Are you saying an ancillary benefit might be to get away from the wife and kids and get some time to yourself?
Yeah, I think that.
I'm thinking that those. Oh, and Yale was the other one today. That 2-hour trip to Yale and driving to New Haven, a little alone time, a little decompression perhaps.
Yeah, because when I used to do Comcast for the millions of dollars that they paid, I would tell my wife that I had to be there like an hour earlier than I really
sure.
had to be.
No, show I meeting. Understand that.
Yeah, we got a show meeting.
I go to the border.
You
and
got
I
the
just
rundown.
Rip it up.
Yeah,
that was the best they told me at one point. They're like, "Hey, you got to come in like this is real." They were like, "You got to come in like an hour early, and we got to like do like a rundown." And I'm like, "No, that's never gonna happen." Are you insane? What was great about going to Burlington was the traffic.
Yeah,
nothing like 95 North.
Newton to Burlington at 5 is always a joy.
Oh,
it's true.
It's
moves,
so
though. It moves.
Yeah,
yeah. Technically, you move.
Yeah. Six inches at a time.
Yep. Yeah, you technically you do move.
He's pop on the old night show.
That's right.
Where I'm yelling at people. That'll move
your
commute.
I think it's the opposite. I think people are more yelling at you. I think it's the other way around.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I was asking Adam Jones how, because he has this schedule that seems delightful. That you can sleep until you can't sleep no more.
Yep.
But your wife gets up early in the morning, and then I recalled when we did afternoons here, I could get up whenever I wanted. 2 to 6 is just like a dream shift. It's just it's the greatest.
With wake up late, go home early. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
2 to 6, because you can do whatever you want at night. I mean, nothing happens before 6.
Seriously, you can get pretty much, if you have dinner plans, you can get to wherever you really need to
if
go.
If you want to go to, like, a Bruins game.
Yeah, you go to a game, Fenway, TD Garden.
You don't have to do anything after the show, I mean, because you can prepare.
That's true. You wake up the next morning, and there's a flurry of emails back and forth, and you have, say you sleep until 9. There's still a good solid 3 hours where you can trade emails with people and get on the same page.
You don't have to do anything.
Oh.
It's just, it's the best schedule ever.
You wake up and plan then.
Yeah. But my wife would get up for her job, and she would, like, blow dry her hair, and she would take a shower, and she'd turn on all the lights. And now If I come downstairs from the third floor because of Momo, if I come downstairs, I am not allowed to turn on. And you'll say, what do you mean you're not allowed? You're a grown man. Who wants to? I don't feel like dealing with it.
Right.
But like I can, I'm allowed to turn on the back. I have to use the flashlight on my phone.
Yeah, me too.
And people go like, oh, why do you dress the way you dress?
I just got chills. That's exactly what happens to me. Yeah. All
yeah, but,
of this.
But you know.
I mean, you're watching TV. You get to watch TV in
the middle
of the night.
Well, no, that's an unusual circumstance. But all I'm saying is all of us who work mornings understand that you wake up and you're stumbling around in the dark and whatever clothes you find, you put on. I mean, honestly, that's the way life is.
Yeah, but when my wife worked, she could, I mean, anything went. There's nothing louder than blow drying your hair.
That's correct.
I mean, it was just when anything goes, and I'll make that point to her, and she just doesn't want to hear it. But it's good because her and my son are in bed right now, resting, having a beautiful rest.
When does Milo get up to go to school?
Well, I'll tell you this. She has to wake him up most weekdays. Guess when he gets up on the weekends? 5.
Yeah, to play Fortnite.
Well, he's not allowed to play Fortnite until 8:30.
Oh, really? That's new, right?
Yes, we have we have devices that you can't.
Oh, sweet. You got the parental locks on.
Oh,
I like
baby.
It.
You better nice. Believe it. Oh, but, yeah, when I'm nice. Not around, you get up, you know, she's got to wake him up. When I'm around,
5.
He pops in the room and says, can I play Fortnite? Can I play Fortnite? No.
You're like, can you read a clock? It's not 8:30 yet.
Yeah, it's 5 in the morning. You're almost 11 years old. Read the stupid clock.
I bet you say that word for word. Read the stupid clock.
Yes.
Right?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's come out of my mouth, I would imagine. One's in a haze.
You have no idea how clear a picture that is in my head.
Yeah.
Really.
He's got a Darth Vader clock, even though he's never seen Star Wars. This kid should have it. Watch Star Wars for about 10 seconds. Why am I watching this thing? It's stupid. And then I said, you know what? You're right. This is really stupid. Like, the first Star Wars sucks.
The first hour and a half is a little slow. That's true.
Yeah.
Until you attack the Death Star, it does kind of drag in spots.
Yeah, and then the Death Star is like looks like Pong.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Movie was made 1976? Something like that?
Yeah, something
77?
Like that. Yeah, but it just is, the story sucks. So.
And yeah, you got to read it. You got to read.
Yeah, I mean.
At the beginning.
It's
who wants to do that? Yeah. Who go to the movies to read, for God's sake?
Who wants to read these days?
Yeah.
Just looking back, like, my dad let me skip school to go see Empire Strikes Back, but I was in kindergarten.
Oh,
but I don't know. I think it was just the idea of it. But people base their whole like lives around Star Wars.
Oof. Yeah,
and there's grown men going to Harry Potter world, and how the hell are you looking at? Una puta
solo. The Harry Potter thing is weird. I mean, the Harry Potter thing is strange.
Yeah.
Why is it any stranger than Star Wars?
I just remember there was like a book release, and I was wandering through Coolidge Corner.
And the headmaster dies.
And there were people, there was a book release at midnight, and there were people dressed in wizard's gear like lined up down the
block. No one dresses up to go see the Star Wars movies when those get released, for sure.
No, I understand that, and people are dressed the same way, but I mean, it's not a movie release. It's a book release. It's just strange.
I don't know.
People wait in line for a book.
I figured if you bought a children's book at midnight, you should have had it read by 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I didn't even think about that segue. Yeah,
and
Fred got into a lot of trouble. Have you heard about this, Jones?
No. I gave away the ending to a Harry Potter book the morning after it came out, and I was in USA Today.
Really?
They just had a thing about spoilers.
He started talking about it was the headmaster dying, and the more people piled on Fred, he started singing it. The headmaster dies.
If you're reading a children's book, guess what? The headmaster dies.
We play it every year during Fred's greatest hits on his birthday.
Right, that's right. It's a nice. My face is set on stone. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll talk to the Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.